And you're listening live from the Path. We're coming from the Pathway Studio here. And what did you just leave? We're trying to put on a program here. You just got up and left. I gotta have this thing. I'm a loud talker. Oh, okay.
I'm spit on it.
I'm just telling you, it's awkward. You're trying to fire stuff up, and all of a sudden, like, stuff starts happening. I don't know what the deal is with. I'm trying to start a show. It's always Mike and Boov over here, and they're releasing doves into the air, and they're waving around banners and making phone calls to people. Here's the deal: if I accept responsibility for what happens on the show, then you think that I'm held responsible for its content. If I act like a casual listener that I can give or take it, then people won't hold me responsible if the show's no good.
So you're dodging show responsibility by trying to be a vagrant.
Yeah.
You just come in here and you kind of wander around so that no one holds you liable for where the show went.
That's 100% on how I
Shoot,
act.
I wish I could do that. All right, you're listening live from the Path, like not Mike.
I could give or take it.
Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We appreciate you stopping by the show. And I'm just going to assume that you love it. That's what I'm going to assume, that you're here because you love me, and I think you're right on that. And so thanks for hanging out with the program. Here's what I got going on the show tonight. Mariah's in studio, and she's got some neat stuff going on in her life. We're going to hear more about that. She could use your help, though, and in ways differently than I could use your help. Like, here's actually legitimately where I could use your help. There's always those things on, what's the name of the hair replacement? Bosley. You know what I'm talking about?
What?
The guys who were supposed to help you regrow hair.
No, I don't know anything about
it. Like Rogaine or something? Or?
Yeah, but it's not the... it's some sort of... they do an infomercial. I think it's Bosley, hair growth for men. All right? But they never tell you how they do it. And they say, it's your own hair, they say. And so if someone has done that, I would really like to know what goes on. Like,
do you think they take it from your armpit or something?
That's what I was thinking. It's some sort of transplant from somewhere. That was my guess. But here's the deal. They won't tell you on the commercial, and I checked the website just because I was interested, and I could not find out how this works. So if you have done this, it doesn't have to be a positive or negative experience, but I would like to know what goes on at Bosley Hair Growth for Men. Okay?
You know, some things you could keep close to the vest, Ben.
I felt a communion with Mariah because she needs help, and I'm interested in help as well. It's two different things we're after. Mine is hard. Hers, I feel like you can help with much easier. And so anyway, you can learn about that kind of stuff and learn how you can help her and what she's got going on and what God's got going on in her life. Just before the show, we were talking a little bit about, so there's been a lot of interesting stuff going on from a, I don't know how else to put this, but like a sexual deviancy thing out in the news, right? You got your Jared Fogel looking for children in an unhealthy way. You have Josh Duggar, who has shown up on the AshleyMadison.com website.
The AshleyMadison.com whole thing anyway.
And then that whole thing with the exposure, I feel like it's the wrong word, but the whole thing coming to light, okay? And so what we were talking about, though, is there's a lot of it going on, and we thought, well, that seems like something to talk about, and we really couldn't come with anything that we felt like was worth discussing.
No.
Like, it just seemed...
It seemed very much how God describes things like those, how they end, right? Yeah. Like... he was very clear that things that are done in darkness will come to light, and I mean, there's nothing else to say. God says, you think you can do these things, and you think first of all, you think that they're going to fill your life and make you feel something different, and all they do is tend to lead to more darkness. And B, everyone's going to find out. Everyone's going to know. It's going to come out of where it is, and like it has devastated people's lives. Not only some of the folks on the receiving end of some of this behavior, but like the people that were engaging in it, and it has devastated their lives.
Well, on that website thing, I'm confused because I just don't get it. I guess never been there, don't know it. But my point is, like, can't you just put your neighbor's name down? I mean, so and so's name show up. It's like, well, does that mean they really did it? I mean, well,
yeah, but it costs money.
Well, so let's say you don't like someone, you want to destroy their character. Well, like the Duggars, whatever.
Yeah, but you have to use your own credit card.
People don't like them.
I can't sign up as Dan Hudson and then pay with Mike's credit card.
That guy admitted to doing it, Dan.
Oh, did he? I don't know. I don't want. I don't get into the deviant stuff like you guys do.
He did it.
I'm out praying and stuff.
I think that this is the site where people go in order to try and frame their neighbor. No.
Well, no, I mean, what I'm saying is they are a target for a lot of people. People want, they hate them. They tried to get them off the air. They got them off the air. So why wouldn't you also try to come
Here's
up with deviant
the deal.
Behavior?
They were right.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
The guy's a pervy dude who was looking for other ladies from a website. They nailed
allegedly.
It.
I don't know. You're saying there's no way to put someone else's name down.
Well, you could, but see, here's the thing. The site's designed to be a secret. It's designed where you sign up and you pay money to find other married people who are willing to engage with you. right? And so that, like, on the, you're hoping to slander your neighbor on the off chance that the website is hacked and exposed to everyone.
Maybe they're the same people who exposed it.
This reminds me of the time that Ben decided he was going to open his own business as a professional secret keeper.
Telling me your secrets.
This is the idea he had. It was going to be like old world English style stuff.
Foost and foost.
people will tell us things, and then after they die, we will show up at the funeral and drop the bomb of the secret.
It's a classic Charles Dickens move. There's always a lawyer or a group of attorneys who've been holding secrets for like 90 years, and they show up to this kid or this long-lost so-and-so, and they say, here's the secret that our firm has been holding for you. It's such a cool job.
And Ben says it just as well be us.
And here's, it's got to be expensive. It's got to be expensive to hold a guy's secret for big money. Anyway, just something to think about.
Just don't hold it digitally.
No, yeah, that seems like a mistake.
It'll be exposed.
Hey, I'm a professional secret keeper, Dan. I do not need your tips.
I am a storyteller.
Just a quill and paper. Parchment.
So anyway, the only thing I can think of is I feel like there is an outcome, and this is what we're getting to talk a little bit later, is I feel like Christians need to give up on the concept of damage control and for a couple reasons. And so we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. That's the only reasonable thing I can think of to talk about. Everything else I feel like has been talked out. There's plenty of people blabbering about this type of thing. There's not a side. It's just bad. So anyway, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Plus, we got some advice on Dear Life and Path. Mike, did you happen to scan any of that stuff?
Yeah, actually, the first go-round is a lady that is almost 100% sure that her husband is cheating on her.
Oh, dag blast it. Maybe, maybe they've been framed by Dan.
I put his name down.
They've run into Dan in ill repute, and Dan has taken to the
web.
It
cost me $29.95, but it was worth it.
Here's what's awkward, Dan. Like, everyone's trying to frame the Duggar guy. Hey, I did it.
Oh.
Seems real rough times.
What is everyone going to put
I haven't followed. I mean, honestly, the story has not interested me. I have a bunch of preacher friends who are like, have you looked for all these names? I'm like, I don't even know where to look. I don't care. It's, well, I know what's happening out
that
there.
That leads me to wonder why you were so fervently defending the man.
Well, no, I wasn't necessarily defending him, but just in general, I don't care whose name pops up. I don't know how that I can trust it. Because you hear the media say, hey, so-and-so did it. I didn't know he had admitted it.
Oh, yeah, he admitted it, yeah.
But you know, hey, trust me, if my name pops up, I didn't do it. I don't know.
Well, that's good to know.
As long as it's clear that I...
Just so you know. Do it. Now my name's going to pop up.
I don't even have that.
Somebody's out there right now. Oh.
I've always hated Dan.
I tell you what. I've got a friend for a discount, $15, half your price. He'll put someone's name on it. So if you've got an enemy or something that you need to burn, just let me know. I'll do that for you.
Wait a minute. Can we make as much money writing nice things about people on the internet? Like, here, pay me $20.
You saved a puppy.
So-and-so is great.
I'm sorry. The nature of news is just bad things are what leads.
Huh. Yeah. Mariah, do you have any presence on the internet?
Yeah, a little bit.
Are we just talking like social media style presence or like you have your own website?
I got a blog.
Okay, that's cool.
That though, so don't go check it out. It's pretty boring right now.
Mariah, the world's best social media. I got a blog and it's not good.
It's spreading like wildfire.
Yeah. It's the first honest blog out there. Everyone else promises.
They're great. They're like, no.
We can fix all the world's problems with this blog. Mariah's like, you know, it's 50-50.
It
could be junk.
Pretty sure somebody else already has the blog title, Worst Missionary Out There. So, you know, can't take that. But.
Wait, so what makes you the worst missionary?
Nothing yet.
I aspire to be.
This is an expectation.
No, just that as far as experience goes, I'm on the, you know, the low end. So I'm sure there'll be some good stuff once I actually get down to El Salvador and, you know, crazy stories are happening. But till then, it's just kind of like, well, I'm in Iowa, you know.
It's like a mission field here, though. I don't know.
So sure. What kind of led you towards El Salvador? Was it the location of where your heart was, or your heart was in the location and you needed to find something to do down there?
Well, every year I'd grown up hearing about our church's annual mission trip down to Central America. It's been to Honduras and more recently El Salvador, and our church has really developed a partnership with a sister church down there in the capital city, and so. In March 2013, that was the first year I got to go, and I was just really excited about that. And I just, my heart broke for the little kids that we got to help. You know, I had no thought of staying down there long term until I went. And that was the first time I had, you know, God planted the the idea in my head and stuck with me ever since. So,
what struck you about that situation that would be different than, say, either seeing it on through media or on the TV or maybe a similar situation at home?
I think just having grown up here in the States, I was maybe a little ignorant of what all was going on. Until you're, like, down there faced with it, it's kind of easy to ignore. Like, you can see pictures, and yes, those are moving. But until you experience it, I mean, there's nothing like it.
So can you help us understand what that situation's like for those kids?
Yeah. Some of the kids that we've worked with, like, in particular, the ones that I've gotten to visit, you walk into their house, and you can't really call it a house because a family of 6 to 8 people is living in a, you know, a building that's about the size of a typical living room here in the States. And it's made out of sticks and mud and, you know, pieces of tin, you know, scrap metal, whatever they can find. And probably a dirt floor and no electricity. And they're just happy. And it's pretty eye-opening.
That is kind of something to say, though. It's like, because we tie, especially here, you know, in our culture, we tie a lot of things to our situation or our comfort level,
mm-hmm.
right? And to know that, like when you see joy in a situation that you normally would process as not joy, like that actually speaks very, very loudly without having to say a whole lot.
Oh yeah, I remember. After that first mission trip, just coming home and walking back into my apartment bedroom and just stopping and taking it all in. That was the first time I had really, truly appreciated what I had. It's so easy to take it for granted, but when you have seen what is normal for all those people, you can't really go back. You don't have a choice to think otherwise. But,
So what is that? How does that translate into what it is that you're looking to do now? Like, what are you actually committing to? What are you looking to do by going to El Salvador?
What I want to do is just make sure these kids are taken care of and that they're shown the love of God. And our sister church down there does that in a variety of ways. First and foremost, they're feeding these kids regularly. Some of these kids were used to eating maybe once a day before they started a development center up on the mountainside. So now they get, a large, nutritious meal every day. And if they look forward to it, that's one of the things they just enjoy the most. And they also get help with homework before or after school. So they're advancing now in school. They're learning enough to be successful later on in life. They're getting good medical and dental attention now. They're not as sick because somebody's helping them and looking after them. And then most importantly, just they're hearing the gospel through Bible stories. The church really understands down there that if, you know, we're teaching them and we're feeding them regularly, that's good. But, you know, we're only fixing symptoms. We're not fixing the cause. So they're just trying to help out in every area of life. And it's really cool just to see the progress. I've been there about 3 years in a row. So I get to see the kids grow up and see them learn. And it's cool.
Do you feel like your view will change for having been there for a duration? Like what? Like how long were your normal mission trips like when you go down there?
About 9 days.
9 days, right?
Yeah.
So do you, like what do you anticipate changing when you're there for, you know, when you're 2 months in, 3 months in?
Oh, man. You know, that's a good question. I haven't really gotten that far, but I think my attitude, my perspective will have changed a lot. Just, I'll have an attitude of gratitude, I hope, that the little things in life will really be the big things, and I won't be so caught up by the, you know, things that's easy to get caught up here in the States with. Family, that'll be more important, you know, having not seen them for months on end, and, you know, they're more than just a 3-hour drive away or something like that.
Now, when you're describing this location, of course, I'm thinking of like a remote jungle-ish due to my American upbringing.
Yeah.
I mean, do they have like the web? Can you email people and make phone calls and jazz?
Yeah, kind of depends. I'll be living in the capital city of San Salvador, and the development center is about 45 minutes away up on a mountainside, so a rural, very rural area. where I'll be living, I'll have internet and all that good stuff. But where I'll be working on a daily basis, they don't have that. Electricity is, you know, optional sometimes. So
yeah. I don't mean to get distracted here, but
no, it's okay.
is the capital is San Salvador?
Yes.
Of El Salvador?
Correct. Yes.
Doesn't San Salvador mean, isn't that Saint Salvador?
It kind of means Savior. Holy Savior, yeah.
Holy Savior Salvador of the Salvador?
Savior. The Savior, yeah.
Hey, man, they hired one guy to do the PR, and he only has one, you know, his only one avenue.
Yeah, you know.
He doesn't do more than one business.
I like the simplicity of his marketing scheme. Yeah. What's the name of the country? Salvador.
Contract mind, yeah.
What's the name of the capital? San Salvador. What else you need? The Sea of Salvador.
And who would I make the check out to? Salvador. That's me.
Yeah.
He basically created his own empire.
Yep.
Boy, I dig on that. Okay. So how can people help?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Lots of ways. First and foremost is just prayer, you know, asking God to keep us safe.
Don't you use that as an excuse not to give money. You hear me? I'll take care
I'll
of this
get there,
part,
don't
all
worry.
Right? You do the regular stuff. I'll come heavy on the cash donations.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they have probably the biggest problem with drug trafficking and gang violence right now in Central America. So that's not really a reassuring fact. Right. Just, you know, prayer for protection and, you know, blessing on what we're doing. And, another thing is, you know, connecting me with people who'd be excited about hearing what I'm doing. And then just third, you know, financial support. It, you know, takes a lot to move to another country and, you know, stay there full time. So monthly support is kind of the biggest need, but anything helps.
So can we find it online to, like, sign up for monthly support stuff?
Yeah. I think we're in the process of putting a link on the website.
Yep, I'll have that up probably tomorrow.
But if you just go to reliant.org/Mariah.Harris, that's M-O-R-I-A-H, there should be a brief summary of who I am, what I'm doing, and, you know, how to get started on that.
Did you write your own summary, or did you have someone else do it?
I think I wrote it.
Are you pretty happy with it?
I don't know. It's been a while.
I don't plan to do much.
Must have been happy with it at that point.
Mariah is an excellent chess player.
False.
How'd you guys know that?
Look at all these things I can do.
I know everything. Tricky. Okay. So you go to, what was it,
reliant.org/Mariah.Harris.
There you go. And you can head up, and monthly support would be helpful. Because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is it's you're gonna do something like that? It's handy to know what you got coming up, right? some sort of consistent stuff coming in. You can make some plans and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So this is the opportunity. Maybe it's something to you should give and you know pray on it at the same time, and say, "Boy, Lord, I hope you do something well with this because I already gave." That'd be my recommendation.
Yeah, that's exactly. You know what? Yeah. If we did more of our generosity campaigns, like, look, Lord, I'm gonna start giving until you tell me to stop. Instead of, I'm not going to give until you tell me to, you're just going to say, look, I'm going to start giving right now, and when you tell me to shut it down, I'll shut it down. I feel like that's way more God's heart than the thing. So you just start dumping money, and when the Lord says, I got other places for you to put it, then you can go ahead and shut it down.
I think that would bring more prayer to the situation as well.
You're done.
Yeah. A little more desperation. Yeah.
God, can I stop now? No, not yet.
Please. I'm going broke. I know. I did this on purpose. Giveaway. You're listening live from the path on livefromthepath.org. We have a special guest of the night, Mariah Harris. Mariah, thanks for coming out. We appreciate you talking to us about some of the stuff you got going on. You're looking at going to reliant.org /Mariah Harris to check that. Mariah dot Harris.
Don't
correct.
Forget the dot.
Check it out. We're kind of half joking, but we're also kind of half serious here. You know, okay. Prayerfully, not everyone likes to say prayerfully.
I want to pray on that stuff.
Yeah, don't just stop that. You're just trying. You're basically trying to say the Lord didn't come and hit me with a frying pan at 3 a.m. So I feel like it's not my gig. You know, why don't you just start giving and pray for the Lord to tell you when it's time to stop? I bet you will. I think Dave's right. Your prayer life will increase abundantly as soon as your idol starts getting tugged at. So start throwing some cash.
Yeah, like if you're throwing cash out the window and you're saying, God, I suppose you better find something good to do with this because frankly, otherwise, I'm just chucking it to people that seem like they need it. I feel like there's a lot more faith in that than there is, I'm willing to pay you 5 minutes of my prayer time so that I know I covered this thing, but thank goodness I didn't have to, you know, shell $10 out of my own pocket.
Yeah.
All right. Tricky. All right.
Yeah.
So So here's the thing about damage control. Is you always look foolish. I feel like if we're to take anything, we're talking about that Ashley Madison hack. So again, to set some parameters to understand what this is, AshleyMadison.com is a website to which married people go to find and connect with in the biblical sense, except for non-biblical sense, connect with other adults. All right, you're looking to have an affair. You go out here, you sign up, you say the types of things you enjoy, you look for other people to enjoy the same things, and then you hook up together. It costs, it's like $250 for the service.
Holy cats, man, that's outrageous.
It's pretty hefty.
Can't you go to a bar and do that cheaper?
it depends whether you got skills, I think.
I've done either, so I'm just saying.
They're a little out of practice.
So here was the premise of the hack, though, was this web group was saying basically, this is 98% dudes. It said there's not any ladies on here. So if you're just taking guys' money, and there's no realistic way. They can't even find a lady because there's no lady in her right mind that's on this site. So they said, look, the company that owns this site needs to be honest because it's 98% fellas, and you need to be honest about that. And the company that runs it said, we're not going to say that. And they said, fine, then we're going to hack into your database and expose your users. And that's what they did. So, like, that's how things came about is they refused to respond appropriately to the allegation that it's 98% men. So anyway, so that's the premise of the circumstance. So they release this information, and you have email addresses that are like Vatican. They're from the Vatican. They're stuff from the federal government, people from the military. Like, they said that there is a, I can't remember. It was an attorney for somebody that was pretty, it was a pretty high profile case, and that guy's on the list. It's all dudes. And there's like an NFL star and like a bunch of three or four other guys were like just big ticket guys.
The Vatican?
Yeah, the Vatican. So here's the thing.
I mean, come on, dude.
So here's a number of lessons I think to take away from this. First of all, there is no amount of stupidity that is deep enough to describe your average man who says, I work for the Vatican. I'm going to use my work email address and sign up for this website.
You know, if that is telling that like that particular line of sinful behavior turns you into a complete moron.
A complete idiot.
I mean, a complete idiot.
See, and that's why I don't trust these names. If I were dumb enough to do this, I would come up with a fake name and a fake email address. I mean, duh.
So here's the thing. You can't charge you can't charge a credit card. You can't if you don't give them the right name. If you put it on a credit card.
I mean, I'm always shipping stuff to the church, say.
They'll accept stuff like that, but like at some point you have to give them your real credit card credentials. You can have it shipped somewhere else.
And you can also, like, you can't give them a fake email address because just like everyone else, they have you verify through a test email that you didn't give them the wrong address.
Well, yeah, you can make as many email addresses as you want. I would use a fake Visa, too. I'd get one of those that you recharge. I mean, so it's not that hard to
be
deviant.
Doesn't that have to have a cardholder name, though?
No, yeah, so you could
go to Walgreens and get a Visa.
So you could get, like, a prepaid Visa. That stuff would work. But here's the thing. They didn't do that. These are guys who, like, Josh.
So you think.
Josh Duggar.
The deviant guy did it, putting somebody else's.
Josh Duggar puts his own address on there. He uses his own email address, his own address, charges it with his own credit card because he's an idiot.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. That is the brand of guy that goes on and says, this seems fine. I should find other married people to have sex with.
And that's the guy who can't really pick someone up if he's trying to anyway.
Well, you're correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although he seemed to find a lovely woman. So I don't understand, but like again, so you got people, you got guys from all walks of life who were stupid enough to think, yeah, there's no way I get caught. This is your average posture of a fella.
Yeah.
And then the reaction of these people is just ridiculous. Like you don't do damage control. You're done. There is freedom in the truth, and your job and what you're trying to do is hedge your bets and say, well, if I don't expose the whole thing, I only have to weather part of the storm. And like if there's a lesson in the Christian life. It is that is the foolishness. Yeah. It's the foolishness that says when that the truth sets me free and I'm looking for freedom from incorrectly labeled persecution that I brought on myself or freedom from people knowing the real depths of who I am simply because I'm doing damage control. Like Duggar is the right example because he got caught doing some iffy stuff. All right. Call it for what it is. He's a younger guy. But a year ago, there's some iffy stuff in his past. At the time that conversation is going on, he signed up on an adultery website. At the time.
That's not smart.
He signed up. And he not only that, but he signed up in two different places, like at his work location in D.C. and at home. Okay? And this guy, he hedges his bets, right? He doesn't come out and he's repentant of this thing that he's gone through and gone through therapy, right? He's on an adultery website. Like, at what point do you look at your life and say, I'm done? This is done. The depths of my sinfulness is done. I want to live in freedom. It needs to fly in the wind. But we spend a lot of time hedging our bets. And the truth is we do that, we do not understand ourselves correctly. We miss the actual depth of God's grace because we tried to cut it off 6 foot down.
Yeah.
And we simply don't live in freedom. And so my reaction to this thing is like, it doesn't have to be this way.
Right.
Just live in freedom, for heaven's sakes.
I'm trying to think, what was King David's damage control with Bathsheba? Didn't he, after the prophet confronted him, start weeping and like admit it? Like, yeah, you're right, I'm an idiot.
No, his damage control came before that.
Was to kill the husband.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, knowing all that, at some point he was confronted, yeah, I did it. I mean, I understand, like, the killing, you know, but at some point it came out.
Yes. You're right, right. So, and he lost his son.
We found your name on the website, King David.
Yes.
And Bathsheba's who you hooked up with.
He says yes.
And then he wept and repented, as I recall. Yeah. But it's been a while since I've read that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. So, I mean, and it's, first of all, it doesn't have to get to that point.
Yeah, but, yeah. Don't look.
But just for heaven's sakes, recognize that, like, there is no such thing as damage control. It's done. It's done. If you want freedom, you're going to have to admit your damage.
Well, yeah, if you want freedom, you're going to have to let the light in, right? Like, you're trying to own half a darkness. Like, you can half dark a room and show people a half-lighted room and go, yeah, this room's clean. And then no one's going to go, hey, what's over in that dark corner over there? Oh, nothing. You know, it's just where I keep doing. You know, like...
Don't look over there.
But that is, like, more often than not, if they claim to be a follower of Christ and they have any type of popularity, they will do their best to make it appear as if they're the perfect representation of what a Christ follower looks like. And unfortunately, for them, the perfect representation of a Christ follower is someone who just follows Jesus and tends to fail. Right? That's what they look like. If you want people to be able to relate to you like Jesus related to them, like, you have to be honest. Don't act like you're awesome. You're not awesome. Jesus is awesome.
Yeah, I never really
Jesus
do anything
says
wrong.
You're awesome to him. But, like, on the whole, you're not a good representation of Jesus himself, because you're not Jesus. You're just a dude trying to follow Jesus and be that. Mm-hmm. And, like, we spend so much time trying to posture, like all this stuff that you know, that we've got this thing nailed. And the truth about it is, God called it right. Christ called it right. He looked at me and said, you're going to sin. It's going to happen. I've got it covered. And so if that was not true about me, then Jesus would be a liar. So you got to stop acting like you're a special case here, right? You're following a perfect Savior. Just do that, and do that honestly. And when you screw it up, say you screwed it up. Yeah. And then thank God that he was loving and gracious to you.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. The easiest the indicator here, the way to tell whether you're getting this right, is like, does whatever's going on in your life point back to God? If you're following him, then he is glorified, right? Yeah. If you have done the wrong thing, you are repentant, and it still points back to him because he's gracious and forgiveness. So there you go. Like, if it points back to Christ, you probably got it right. If it has to do with you protecting something, pointing back to yourself, protecting something about yourself, you probably got it wrong.
Yeah, that's true. You hear more often than not than people going, you know, I tell the whole thing, but I don't want people to think Christians are like this.
But they are like
you are like
right?
that.
Stop trying to hide it. That's why Christ died for.
Let's stop saying I'm really sorry and say, by the way, I'm really guilty.
Yeah,
I very much did this.
I follow Jesus, but sometimes I'm stupid and do my own thing.
Yeah,
and then I have to jump back on the path.
And I'm not as good at phoning up credit card information like Dan Hudson is. Apparently,
no, so I've never tried it. I'm assuming that's what goes.
I'm just saying,
like,
you have a fairly detailed plan on how to get this done, Dan.
I don't know. Yeah,
it is what it is.
I found it interesting. Just the world loves to see these hypocrites come out and be exposed for who they are, but God loves them, and I think that's kind of one of the awesome things about God is that the world will see someone who has hit that utter failure point and will want to just, you know, revel in their failure and point at them and laugh and say, hey, look how you've lost it. And God will look at them with compassion and say, hey, let's rebuild your life back into my image instead of yours. And it's his love and his compassion for utter failures is what makes God so attractive. So what's wrong with being the utter failure that God loves?
And what was God's final evaluation of King David, who had an affair and killed her husband?
Man after my own heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that he's encouraging us all to do that, but right. I mean, that we can come back.
Yeah, but what's
we can
that?
Do really dumb things.
It's one of my favorite parables where God's like, don't set yourself at the front of the table where people have to send you to the back, right?
Yeah.
Let me bring you up there, you know? And like we are a culture full of dudes that are like sitting at the head table and like, yeah,
I love this thing. Right, correct?
And then everyone has to go, You, sir, belong in the back.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just saw a really refreshing kind of video on this topic today by YouTube artist Sam and Nia. They're Christian vloggers, and Sam, actually, like, his name was on that list of, you know, people that created an account, and it was a couple years back, but he actually, like, he, you know, confessed it. He talked about how he's, you know, gotten accountability and stuff. So if you want a, you know, good example of somebody who's not trying to pass the buck, or, you know, just owning their sin, but also owning God's grace and, you know, thanking him for it. That's a really cool example.
I love this.
Yeah.
He's like, it was me. I did that.
Yeah.
Here's what happened. Here's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And love his wife's in the video with him, like, supporting him along the way. It was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, and I think if we miss something here, it is that we think that this thought process only falls for these, for the big things that are otherwise super embarrassing. Like, whether you're embarrassed or not, it's a problem. Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be something that might wreck your career. If it's separating you from God, and it's something that you are trying to protect in some way or another, you've got to give that up. That's, joy is not there. Freedom is not there. Whatever you think you're protecting, it's 10 times worse that you're missing out of on the other side by holding on to that stuff. And so you're just going to have to – here's my recommendation. What you're doing, whatever it is that you got in your mind or the things that you're trying to propagate, is create a circumstance of which you are having to keep things from other people, things that you're having to hide, things you're having to protect. May I suggest that you try it God's way? Try it God's way and see if you don't find that your life is simply more free, and that the things that you're trying to protect, A, you have no control over anyway. Like, you've already released into the world. Whatever action you've taken is available into the world. Your actions can be seen. It will be produced in what it is you think, say, do, whatever. And so, I don't know, just try it God's way here and see that it's not better. Because whatever you're doing right now, you're having to cower or hide or something like that, and your way ain't working. And so, big or small, just try it God's way, and I promise you it's going to turn out in freedom as opposed to the life that you're living, protecting, fearing that something's going to come out one way or the other. Just be honest and deal with what it is, as opposed to dealing with the situation that you've created in dishonesty. All right, that's it.
Boom.
I don't know. I feel like people are going to still do that stuff. People are crazy.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. Like in the really popular people, is it a financial thing they want to be, or is it popular? I don't know.
$250
bucks. Talking out loud, but
I mean, that's a lot of money.
I mean, like, when they're trying to protect their reputation, but he has no money. From fame, does he? Maybe he does. I don't know. The guy.
I don't know.
I don't have the slightest idea. Maybe. What are you talking job, about, right? Dan? What are you talking about?
Just my mind's just a roll.
Here's the thing. Is like it's. It's weird.
You're talking about Duggar.
Okay.
It's weird what people... Well, so I think in that instance, what he's trying to protect is he knew very well that he is the hypocrite at the head of a family leadership organization, right?
That's right. He does some... Yeah. So there's a money thing. He doesn't want to lose his job.
Well, so he'd already lost a job. So I think the thought process is that, you're trying to protect this image of what a Christian is and trying to protect God from the impact. But, like...
People are too selfish for that.
You can't do things God's way and then think, no, I'm going to do things not God's way to protect him. First of all, God's got it.
Yeah.
He can handle his own affairs, thank you. If you would just handle yours, we wouldn't be in this position. Which includes submitting to God on certain things, which is just deal with it out in the open.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't point people to God with a bum sign that doesn't come from him. So just deal with it in the open. It's better. It's just better.
It's harder. I'll give you that.
Well, here's the thing: it is worldly harder, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it's your freedom is freedom from condemnation under Christ. It is not necessarily freedom from the impact of how a sinful world sees themselves and then laughs at you because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ha ha ha! That guy got caught. That's really the reaction. Boy, I'm glad my stuff isn't out everywhere.
Yeah, that's true. Of all the people that are exposed, apparently a bunch of dudes exposed on Ashley Madison. There is twice as many people that have found Dan's way of getting it done. And have gotten it done under the radar, right?
Or they'll
do the Dan Hudson, I call it. Anyway, but like
the way of deception.
These are the same guys that can pull it off in a bar, or you know, with someone at work, or you know, like they're getting the exact same thing done, and they didn't get caught, and they're sitting back, you know, throwing judgment out at folks, and like they just have to be technically savvy.
So let me throw this out, and maybe it's a moot point, but if 98 of the people are men,
yeah,
so they're really not actually following through and having affairs. They were just dumb enough to sign up.
Yeah.
Is it one of those things you sign up once and 5 years later, like, oh, yeah, I guess I did do that. That was dumb. Like, I did it in a moment of time. Do you have to renew it?
Yeah, yeah. There's also a yearly, like a monthly fee. Like a monthly subscription. It costs a lot of money.
And how many months do you go by with no results? They finally go, yeah, that's kind of a waste.
I don't know.
I think a lot of dating websites are kind of like this. It's just this one's specifically targeted to, you know, illicit things.
With no results? I mean, I'm assuming there's no results if there's no women?
I don't know.
I mean, maybe I'm assuming too much. I mean,
2% are women? You know.
Maybe those women are really busy?
I mean, but here's the deal, though. You've also gone into a website looking because you either can't get it on your own or you're... think this is a way more secure way of doing it, but like maybe you're willing to hope for longer, right? 6 months, you're like, I can wait. I've waited for 30 years. I'll continue to do so. So maybe they're just more optimistic or desperate, and so they're willing to wait longer, and so you can get away with it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
The whole thing. Oh, sorry.
No. Go ahead.
I would say the whole thing is just so foreign to me. The whole idea. Cheryl and my wife and I were talking about this like recently. It was like, I mean, the whole idea of another person is so. Just bizarre to me that if one of us were to, well, if she were to die, I can't even see myself with remarrying, even though it was perfectly okay. I'd just be like, no, I had my time. It was fun. It was, you know,
right.
I mean, I just.
Now I'm buying cats.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm going to be a cat man.
I'm kind of a dog guy. I can do cats now because the girls were allergic. So yeah, I could do, I mean, you know, I just.
Yep.
It's so foreign to me. I don't get it, but I realize it's obviously a big issue, but.
Actually, it's weird that you say that. My wife and I were talking 2 days ago. I've been like really busy at work. I've been working some late hours. I've had to go in at some real weird times, and I ended up having to go out to my workplace like Friday night at 9:30 or something. And I left, and I got into the office, and there's no one else there, of course. And there's this little part of me that thought, like, from an outsider's perspective, I've got a lot of suspicious behavior. Like, that's what a guy does. He stays late. He ends up going to work at real weird hours,
honey.
For weird things. And I thought, well, it was weird. So I just text my wife just hey, I'm at work. And then I asked her, I said, hey.
Ashley Madison in the background. Hey, whoops.
It's weird. They block Facebook here at work. But I said, is that anything that would have ever even close to cross your mind? She's like. No.
Not until now.
And not had any idea at all. I said, well, okay. It was just weird. Like, it's just
kind of a big diss right there.
It was, no doubt. Here's the deal. No. I'm pretty certain no one else finds you.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. My wife's like, yeah, you got no chance, buddy. Go ahead and give it a shot.
Good luck.
I've only had to flirt a couple times, and it was with my wife, and I sucked at it then.
Hey, you. No.
Hey, do you want to play Madden football on the arcade game? Go to the truck stop? Score.
That's the thing. I feel like I've already invested so much in this relationship I have with my wife. I don't want to start over. Yeah. I mean, I've built so much. I've maintained it. It's good. I like it the way it is. I do not like the idea of starting over.
No.
Yeah, wait till you marry someone else and they like put the ketchup on the top shelf. You're like, it doesn't go there.
You
it goes
thinking?
In the door. Everybody knows ketchup goes in the door.
And peanut butter doesn't go in the fridge. It is not a fridge item.
No, yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Boy, that would be such a hassle. It'd be the little things that'd get you. And this is the mind of the idiot man, right? Like, we just need sexins. That's what we need, right? And then you got to deal with all the little stuff and be like, hey, man, we save paper bags. No, we don't save paper bags here. It's ridiculous. I mean, just the constant, all the small things that you and your wife had worked out over the last X number of years, and you want to throw all that away for like a half hour. You're a fool. You're a big fool.
Yeah. Watch the Born Identity. Find something to tie up your time.
Yeah, exactly. Go hit yourself in the face with a bat or something. Whatever makes you feel more manly. Stop acting like an idiot.
You're listening to Live from the Path. Thanks for hanging with us so far. You can catch us during the week at livefromthepath.org. You can find past clips of the show, interviews, musical performances by folks like Forever Lynn and such. Lots of good music out on the website. You can go check that stuff out. Also, you can sign up for the audio podcast. There's a big orange button up there. It looks like all audio podcast links do. And we're on iTunes. You can get the podcast if you're just dying for Live from the Path, which, again, I assume that you do. And you can sign up for that stuff there and enjoy that business. Also, big thanks to Bob Eisenhower with the Eisenhower Team. If you go to EisenhowerTeam.com for all your home buying and selling needs, he's just the right guy for the job. Especially, I know you heard it was a housing boom or whatever, and so you decided I'm going to put. I saw this on my block. Well, it's a block over in Bonnerant. There was a group of houses. I don't know if they got together, had a barbecue or something, and then decided that everyone's going to put their house for sale by owner.
And so they did, and they had like three guys at their for sale by owner. It must have sat out there, I mean, five, six weeks. And then finally I go by, and one guy decides he's going to pick up a realtor who actually knows what he's doing. And sure enough, that guy sells his stuff in like a week and a half, and his house sells. And then another guy picked up a realtor to help him do it, and that guy sells in like 2 weeks. And then there's one guy holding out for sale by owner. He's got, you know, his yard's like 18 feet high, and he's got a Suburban in the back you can't see anymore. He's not been there for weeks. And for sale by owner right there on the deal. And I'm like, you know, there's just some things. You just find a guy to do it. If you want to sell your house quickly, get the most you can out of it, make it a painless. It's okay. If you're playing basketball and you're not sweating, you're doing it wrong. If you're selling your house and you are sweating, you're doing that wrong. Okay? And so don't sweat selling your house. Just go to Bob. Go to Bob Eisenlauer, EisenlauerTeam.com. You can look up the current houses that are for sale. He can help you price your house. And maybe you just want to know, I want to know how much it's worth, so I can decide whether I want to sell or not. Just call him. Call him. He can help you out. He knows that kind of stuff. He's got Johns in his office. Those guys just know what they're doing, and they can help you get the right thing done. He's a great guy. He's good folks. We have him in, and he loves the program, and you love the program, so you're it's a match made in heaven. Okay? EisenlauerTeam.com. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think, what if you opened a website to hook people up with realtors? Like, what are your preferences in a realtor?
Are you kidding me?
You know what I'm saying?
You have one good business idea out of the 50 that come out of your mouth. That secret thing I made fun of. That's pretty good, though. I mean, I feel like I could easily be a part of this business with very little time invested.
I need you have to. I need another Foost. You can't be Foost and Foost with only one guy.
Yeah, okay, I'm in.
We also need to meet a guy with an ampersand for a last name.
As long as I'm the first Foost, that's all I care about.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anyway, so call Bob EisenlauerTeam.com. All right, Mike. What do you got?
Dear, live from the path. I'm nearly 100% sure that my husband is cheating on me. I tracked him a couple of times using the GPS on his phone and saw he wasn't where he told me he would be. I know he has a female acquaintance who lives in the general area of where he was, so I did a little investigating. Sure enough, she lives exactly where he was. I don't know whether to confront him now or wait to try to catch him at her house so there will be no denying it. My husband is the last person on earth I thought would cheat. When it comes to everything else in life, he's a man of high standards and integrity. I'm afraid to be on my own because I never have been. I don't see how we can afford a divorce. Please help.
So her basic, if I just to rephrase her question a little bit, her question is basically, do I confront him now or shall I confront him later at the place?
And trying to talk herself out of confronting him at all.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so she says, I don't know that we can, I don't know how we can, she didn't say I don't want to divorce him. She just said, I don't know if we can afford it.
Yeah. I don't think we
can. Focus on how, what the financial impact is. I think she's already let him go. And she's just looking for proof.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think in her heart of hearts, she already knows what's happening. But she is weighing her options of, do I continue this and still have a home, or do I get rid of him, and I don't know how I'll survive, and she's trying to weigh that. What was her actual question? Should I confront him now or later?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah. Man, you got to have the conversation. You got to.
She said. She basically says, she's asking whether she should confront him at home or do it at the location and catch him in the act so he can't deny it, and then she's afraid of the fallout as soon as she confronts him.
Take pictures of his vehicle in the driveway and then confront him at home.
I wouldn't delay at all. I would just say next time you see him, literally the next time, just sit down and say, hey, look, I already know about you two. I'm not going to give you details as to how I know. I just know, and I want you to be truthful about it. We're going to have a really difficult conversation here, but just, you know, flat out, hey, I know.
Yeah, I don't know if you need to add to the theatrics of the situation
by
going over there and
that just makes it worse.
Causing a scene.
It
right?
Be like, fun.
What?
you could sell tickets.
You might as well put some pizzazz in this thing.
Here's what you need to figure out. Is your marriage important to you?
Deliver flowers.
If your marriage is important to you, then all this extraneous weirdness of the theatrics of it and the atmosphere and like making a big scene to show I got you and like if you love him. And if your marriage means anything to you, just talk to him next time you see him.
Set the goal
him
down. Is reconciliation.
Yeah, you need How's to have that respond? Conversation, and you need to. Yeah. You need. It's gonna be real hard because you're the offended party. Mm-hmm. You're the person that is being sinned against.
in this situation.
I think she's willing to continue.
Yeah.
If nothing else, for financial reasons.
Yeah.
Which is, hopefully she'd get beyond that. But you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, at least you got to deal with reality, which is, hey, here's where we're at. I know about it. What are we going to do next?
Right.
And it's in his court. And obviously his decisions are dragging this thing into where it's at. His decisions will decide whether it continues or not. But
mm-hmm. And it's actually funny, like, that it's counterintuitive, but the less crazy wife you act at him, the worse he will feel. You know what I'm saying? Not in a way to guilt him, but what I'm saying is like, if you have that conversation to say, I know what you're doing. We need to have some conversations about this. And the more under control you can keep yourself, that is usually
don't be desperate.
That's right. That is the way that a man will usually assert his leadership in a situation where a wife has gone a little bit emotional or you know, really big and acting. And the man will just show up, right or wrong, and as long as he acts calm, he's still in charge here. And so if you can try to approach this thing after some prayer and some counsel and do it as calm as you can, you won't have to make big theatrics out of the thing. He will identify himself as a schmuck and will know it. And then at least you can see what you're dealing with now. Mm-hmm. So let's see what secular...
Anybody else have any extra advice on that?
Probably one thing you also might need to consider is how far you're willing to forgive this guy. And I mean, if you're following Jesus, then there shouldn't be any limit on that. But just realize, I mean, he's apparently got a pattern going, and hopefully he'll change it. Hopefully. Mm-hmm. But you know, you have to make decisions about what's going on with you.
He won't change it without the confrontation, though. You're right. Hopefully he will.
Right.
But yeah, you get, like you said, you got to confront.
And that's no guarantee even after the confrontation. He might even just say, yeah, I agree, I'm gonna, and then nothing.
Yeah.
So just...
Gotta be some tough love in there, too.
Yeah.
Secular says, you must have suspected that something wasn't right, or you wouldn't have been tracking your husband's whereabouts. Now that you know for certain he hasn't been truthful, protect yourself by consulting an attorney who specializes in family law. This does not mean I'm suggesting you divorce your husband. However, you will be enlightened about what your rights are as his wife. Armed with that information, if you decide to drop by the woman's house while your husband is there and confront them, it may help your husband recognize that a divorce isn't in his financial interest and give him an incentive to repair your marriage. Wow. I really hate everything about that.
That sounds like an incentive to be a better cheater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here, I don't think you realize emotionally you've destroyed me, but if this really sinks in, you're going to be broke. So does that make you want to stick around with me? You treat me terribly. But the money situation should convince you to hang out with me
longer?
That's
the thing.
That's awful.
That is not the foundation for a long-term reconciliation and beneficial marriage, is can we afford to divorce?
People look at the Lord's view on marriage and say, why do you got to be this way, Lord? Why do you got to try to make us act this way? And then this is what we offer up in return, right? Blackmail the other one with financial poverty if you don't stick in a terrible, terrible situation. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just awful.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do? Hey, I talked to a lawyer, and this is going to cost you big time if you don't stay with me. I'll see you at home.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of situation is that?
By the way, I put on new sheets, so, you know, everybody likes new sheets.
And you... That jean jacket is so 1987. I'm out.
Jeez. Okay, let's do another one. Here we go. Dear Life from the Path. Would it be rude to invite someone to a festive occasion weeks after he or she lost a loved one? Is there a time frame or an etiquette reference? It seems callous to issue an invitation, but if I didn't, I'd feel like I'm shunning or forgetting the person. I mean, hold on a minute. I think you could tell whether you've forgotten someone or not. I mean, you really have to. You know what I'm saying? Either you didn't forget them. Anyway,
yeah, right. If you purposely didn't send the invitation.
You're deciding whether to send him an invitation. You didn't forget him. Okay, I am looking for a mature way to approach this. Have you any thoughts you can offer? A week after a loved one died. It doesn't say spouse. I bet if it was a spouse, that's different, right?
Like, I think you still have the conversation. Most of these boil down to a conversation. Hey, I know you're hurting right now. This may help. I won't be offended if you can't come, but I want you to know you're invited. I wouldn't send a blank card, but I would have the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean...
Face-to-face or voice-to-voice,
yeah,
always the best way.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's something about a nice letter. Like, I wouldn't send him the same thing you send everybody else, but I might include a nice note in there.
Yeah.
Some kind of handwritten style.
Yeah.
A festive occasion. I wonder what that is.
Did they give a time frame?
For the
occasion. Like, how far after the death did it occur?
That seems to say. They seem to say they're wanting to send out invitations. So what do you give people, a month? But you get send out invitations a month before the event so people can have time to send it back? I don't know etiquette.
No, I don't have any idea.
how early things.
I mean, if this is like a concert, you know, that Friday night. I mean, you yeah, can
do
call
you want,
man.
Do you want to go see Sammy Hagar? He's coming yeah. to town.
Listen, I know things been a little bit rough at your place. If you want to throw down on some Hagar, I'll come pick you up. If you want to chill out at home, that's cool too. Just let you know the car will be driving by your place. Let me know what you want to do.
Yeah, that's.
I yeah. think. I think I'm going to echo the conversation point that Dan had, because if it's something like inviting to a baby shower after a miscarriage, it still could be months down the road and that could still hurt just as bad. Mm-hmm. So it can, I mean, you might just know how sensitive you need to be to the situation, but if you talk to him, then you can pick up on that a lot, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. That's true.
I don't want to not invite you, but I also understand you yeah. may not want to be here.
It's a lot easier to convey that.
Yeah, it actually does kind of depend on how close a friend this is to you, right? Yeah. Like, my close friends, I can just look at them and say, what do you want to do? Hagar's in town. What do you think?
Yeah.
And then that's it, right? But, yeah. like, if this is like a third-step acquaintance, yeah, maybe you should just give it. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you don't know them well enough to know.
Yeah.
Like, when people are in some really bad shape, they usually have a pretty close circle that you know, they don't do a whole lot of talking, but they're like, how was it? Still crappy. Gotcha. All right, let me know when it changes. Let me know what you need from me. And then that's it, right? The less talking you do, the more you know the guy. So maybe it is time for you to stay out, if you even have to ask this question.
I would say there's no period of time, though.
It's probably time to stay out.
No, but what I'm saying is that, like, depending on, it's more about who you are, like, your relationship with them, than it is about a specific period of time.
It's probably 30 mm-hmm. days for everybody.
But like, I wouldn't, I don't think so, what?
I feel like it's a specific period of time.
Just put it in your calendar.
It is yeah. not.
Yeah. A reminder.
Like, I would probably, it depends on what the situation is and who it was. I might go out a couple days out.
Yeah.
Just depending on what's happening.
Well, I mean,
you might need a diversion.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You may not.
Yeah.
You want to feed YouTube. Into their fantasy land of escaping grief? You've gone through grief counseling, Dan. What the heck?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's how people get stuck on illicit drugs.
Hey, man, a quinceañera isn't always something completely out of left field.
What is a quinceañera?
I don't know. I've heard the word before.
Dave, you're cultured. What's Ben saying?
Quinceañeras are like a coming-of-age party.
Yes.
For girls.
Nailed it.
For Mexican ladies, Ben.
How many of those are you getting invited
no
to?
No doubt.
She's the piñata.
I just assume people thought I was grieving.
it's like being going to bar mitzvahs. Like.
Let's see what Segular says. Man. Segular says, call the person and say you are thinking about him or her and ask how your friend is doing. During the conversation, allude to the fact that you'll be having a celebration and mention there that if go. He or she is feeling up to it, the invitation is open.
Oh, by the way.
Here.
Oh, come on. No one's buying that.
Dear Secular, can you tell me how to relate to people? All people in a very phony way.
No, man, here's the deal. It's like everyone's going to know if there's a, like, oh, hey, how are things going? Like if you call with an ulterior motive, you're going to be able to pick that out.
Yeah.
How are things happening? Anyway. I didn't really care about you. I was just calling to see whether you want to go in a shindig.
Allude to, bring up in a subtle way. I don't think, Mike, you've ever had a conversation like that at
all. I wouldn't even consider having
this
done.
What is this subtle?
That's when I would have someone else call on my behalf.
We've had people pass away in our church with relatives that attend the church. And if say there's a story about that person, I'm going to say, talk about that Sunday. I will pull them aside ahead of time before they even come. Just say, I want you to know I'm talking about your relative, your friend, whatever. And you just decide, you choose if you're going or not. But this is a little story I'm going to share, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
And just so they're not like sitting there going, whoa, you know, that's just a courtesy. That's not inviting them to a party, but it's still a conversation you have. I mean.
That's true. That's really not an apple to apple example,
yeah, sorry.
Dan. Hold on.
I was just trying to make myself look good. I really care.
On all lines today, Dan. Here we go.
Let's talk about this website.
Here's how you get done cheating on your wife. Not like those idiots. Here's the second half of a secular's advice. Is your friend may surprise you and accept because there is 30-day timetable for grief.
Oh, come on. It does not say that.
It says there's no timetable for grief. Much of the grieving may have been done while the deceased was alive and ailing. However, if your friend declines, at least he or she will know you are thinking about him or her, and that's very important at a time like this.
Okay, that seems legal.
30 days, folks. Just keep that in the back of your head. Regardless of the relationship, 30
or
days.
Or write it on your calendar like
it's
he
ridiculous. Does. It's not 30 days.
Stop acting like you know everybody.
I would go, I mean, a fortnight away, King Sierra, like I'm in.
A fortnight away.
I'm going. You were listening live from the pad. Big thanks to Mariah for coming in. Hit him with the website again.
It's reliant.org/Mariah.Harris.
There you go. Yeah. Let's see, you can help her out. My boy, it's just, I think it's a good opportunity to be able to spread your wings beyond where you currently are. To watch what God is doing in another area of the world and doing it through Mariah, and you can be part of that. So I encourage you to do that in this order. Give, and then pray that the money does good things. That's what I would recommend you do. None of this just I prayed for it type of business. Time to get off the bones and open up the wallet. So do that kind of stuff. And if you're listening on the Truth Network, we've got to let you go because we can only afford so much time. I'm sure there's very entertaining programming coming up next. And we will see you next week. If you're on the podcast, hang tight. We'll be right back with you. And in the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. Thanks for listening to Life in the Path. Hey, there's a joke in here somewhere. I just can't think of the right thing. So I wanted to say something like, man, time flies, but then say time flies, coach. But I can't think of a reason why you would say that. When would it be funny to imply that time flies in the cheap seats? As a cultural observation.
They turned the music back up so we can buy it.
This just sounds like a cheap joke. I don't know.
You have to first say time flies first class, and then compare it to coach in some way.
I was thinking like football coach. I was like, what? I had
total, like no the fun. Show with Judge Pete Nelson? Like,
it's a think piece.
I get what you were saying.
What the heck did you do today, Dan?
This happens to be my 30th anniversary. I've been partying all day.
You can legitimately go home and say, I'm so in love, I cannot think straight. Things are just coming out of my mouth.
I blindly defended Josh Duggar with no facts. He's innocent. Little liberal media.
All right.
You want to do one more deal here?
We might have room for a couple. Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. Dear Life from the Path, I met a man online who lives out of state.
Oh, no.
We seem to have a lot in common. I have relatives near his home and plan to move to that state in the future.
Oh.
He has two daughters, ages 22 and 24. A 24-year-old who is married just graduated from college. He flew back east to attend the graduation. He has told me several times how much he likes my long hair. When he called me from back east, he said how happy he was that he got to brush his daughter's hair.
Oh.
I thought it was I thought it was odd and mentioned it to a few friends, male and female, who said they thought so too. What's your opinion? I'm uncomfortable about what he did.
This story started creepy and then just got worse.
Why are you moving there? Why?
This is weird. Like, here's the deal. Like, I comb a lot of hair at my place. You know what I'm saying? Little lady's got long hair. There's no part of it I enjoy. You know what I'm saying? I like to spend time with my daughters. Combing their hair, not one of them.
I always enjoyed that. But not, I think, in the way he might be.
I mean, would you brush your daughter's hair when she's, say, 22?
I can't imagine.
I don't let my dad brush my hair, and I'm 22.
That's what I'm saying.
There you have it.
Say, look, Dad, we can play a chess or something. You don't have to brush my hair. I mean, we go to dinner, anything. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is it society that has made this creepy, or is it just kind of creepy?
Was this like girls raised by a single dad? I mean,
I don't know. It doesn't say.
I mean, is she just connecting dots that don't really exist? I mean, was it just like completely unrelated conversation? Oh, I was combing my daughter's hair, it was really neat. And then she's connecting the dot that, like, he's just like, I just happened to comb my daughter's hair.
That is kind of an odd.
Mm-hmm. He likes my hair. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of things missing in the story.
Yeah.
I mean, really, all the man's guilty of is complimenting her on her long hair and then combing his daughter's hair.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, could be
innocent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she needs to cut her hair short and see how he likes it. See if he still moves.
You know, I mean, you're pretty suspicious of a guy. Maybe you should just stop dating him right now.
Yeah, like if you think he's a creep or a hair man, I feel like that's enough to not move states and be near him.
Yeah, but this is what Seinfeld would do. He'd always find just one flaw with a person and then throw him out.
A big thumb.
Well, right, but like that makes him, like he's wrong in that respect, but that also makes him unhealthy in the relationships as well. So, for the guy's benefit, you shouldn't go anywhere because of this problem that you're creating.
Yeah, that's true. It could be a total innocent hair combing, and you're always going to look at him and be like, he loves hair.
Yeah.
He likes to comb hair. He's brushing the dog all the time. He's trying to comb the cat. I can't stand this guy. All he does is think about long hair all the time.
Keeps buying coconuts.
Soon he'll meet another woman with even longer hair, and I'll be out on the streets. I mean, seriously, how much worried? I mean, hair? The length of hair is a deal?
I mean, I always actually really enjoyed combing my when they were little girls. It was like I need my daddy type thing. It was kind of a fun little after you take a bath, do a little detangler.
I mean, I have to, right? I mean, it's like hacking through the dengue forest, man. I mean, that's tough.
Well, that's why you have detangler.
Makes a terrible noise. It don't matter. Them kids' hair grows together like vines in Jumanji. Seriously.
What is in that detangler?
It's conditioner. It's watered down conditioner.
Work. Yeah, but that's a suspicious chemical, is it not?
No, it's literally it's watered down conditioner.
Probably. Oh, really? You just take hair like regular conditioner and put water in it?
Yeah, that's all it is.
I want to do that.
That would save me a lot of money.
Bummer.
Although I've described combing my daughter's hair as vines, so maybe mine does not work very well.
Good point, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good
point. What did I do?
That's a good point.
Score one for me.
Here we go. Secular says, I agree that it's unusual for a father to be brushing his adult daughter's hair. However, not knowing the man, I can't say for certain whether or not his affinity for your long hair is a fetish. Because you found his comment off-putting, discuss it with him in a non-confrontational way to learn more about making any judgments.
Hold on a second. How is she going to bring that up? Like, give me a proposed conversation starter in this.
Hey, so last week when I was talking to you, you kind of made mention that you combed your daughter's hair.
Yeah.
Well, you also made mention that I have long hair, and you like it.
Yeah, I do.
Are
you a pervert?
What?
I don't understand.
Is this fetish behavior?
Are you on that?
Yes,
Dolly
it is. All right. What are we doing this weekend?
Do you sell baked goods with the other Dolly Madisonites?
That's all I can think of, the Madison thing. I don't know.
People are stuck on affairs. I was thinking of donuts.
Have you ever been on Duggar Madison?
There are people that would long for your life. Do you struggle with looking at other ladies or thinking about affairs? Not at all. Nope. I think about pastry, to be honest with you. I want
have
a
you
pastry.
Ever had a good home? Yes, I have.
I confess my pastry to my accountability group. Okay. I told my wife I bought a bear claw, and she was fine with it.
Oh, no.
Wait, so that was the conversation? That's how it went? I don't think there's an easy way to shallowly accuse someone of having a hair fetish.
It's because it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean,
if you can't think of a good way to have that conversation, maybe you're overreacting.
Yeah, why don't you get a hotel room or something for 3 days and like hang out with this dude? And if like every time you do anything, he's like, check out the long hair on that lady. Then it's time to leave.
Wait a minute. Was your advice to get a hotel room with this man?
I didn't say stay with him.
And you're saying me.
Yes. It sounds like Dan's unintentional bad advice.
No, he lives at his place. You live in a hotel room and you go out on dates before you
move
there.
That's not what it sounded like.
Not really.
Why don't you and this man stay in a hotel together for 3 days and really get to know each other?
See if he likes your hair in the sink.
Talk about long hair. You could spy people from the balcony. Look, it's on a man. I don't care. I love long hair.
Tell me, what do you think of the story of Rapunzel?
You mean the best story ever?
Perv, I'm out.
All right. Yeah, what the heck? I don't even know what to say to stuff like that. People are weird.
What was the secular advice? Did you already say it and I missed it?
Yeah.
What was it? Was it good?
I don't know. Something about talk to him and have an honest conversation about long hair. That was all.
Bring it up nonchalantly.
That's right. Because I asked further, like, how that would go.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone do one more here?
Yeah.
Here we go. Dear Life in the Path, my widowed mother-in-law began dating a man a few months ago. My husband and I are happy for her because he seems to be a good person. She really seems to enjoy spending time with him. Good. We live in Michigan, and she lives in South Carolina. She told me she has asked him to come with her the next time she visits. I have no problem with this, but I do not want them to share a room in my home because they are not married. I have boys who are 10 and 13, and I think it would send the wrong message.
Okay.
Yes, I know I'm old-fashioned. Talk about role reversal. How do I handle this?
Say you can't stay here in the same room.
Yeah. I just let him do it.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
People don't assume old people do the giggity. I wouldn't think it's a deal.
I feel like that's not the conversation you're having to have with your 10-year-old.
Don't worry, they're not doing anything. They're too old.
Yeah, Mike.
I don't care how you guys run your house.
No donuts, no pastries going on in there.
I mean, you're saying no. You would say no. You can't.
To
you guys,
the extent that I mean, yeah. if they're going to get a hotel room or whatever, I can't do anything about that.
What if they drove up in a motorhome and they were going to sleep in the motorhome?
In your yard?
Yeah. Yeah. Are we going to do it by property blinds now?
No, yeah, I feel like I can't do anything about that either.
You just gotta let them, you just say, fine, come on over. Love them anyway.
Yeah. I just can't facilitate it. So, like, I'm not going to make you up one bed. If you come and stay in your motorhome, I can't do much about that. You're going to be in your hotel. I can't do anything about that. Yeah. It's not that I don't love you or anything. No. So, you know.
I'm sorry. Your advice was then, no, you can't, or yes, you can.
I mean, they can still come. Like, if they're going to stay in my house, I will make them up two separate places to sleep. If they solve their own problems and stay somewhere else, whether it be in the motorhome or hotel, you know, there's no reason for me to go make a scene out of it.
So you're gonna accommodate the proper perspective for their relationship, and if they choose to go outside of that, that's their deal.
That's what seems like the extent that I can handle it, yeah.
Okay. Anybody have any disagreement with that? Let them come over. Just do whatever they want. Pay for two hotel rooms to insist upon a morality.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Sounds expensive.
Are they living together now? Did I miss that?
It doesn't say.
Yeah, we don't even know that they're living together now.
Yeah, I mean, is this lady kind of goody two-shoe in the thing? Like, she's assuming that they're going to try to pull this off? Like, what type of spinster does she think her mom is?
Well, I mean, just because they sleep in the same room, or, you know.
Yeah, I know, and I hear you.
So, I mean.
I don't know.
Herrick?
I'd offer him two rooms.
Yeah.
What if you only have one to spare?
I would.
Make him sleep on the couch.
Yeah.
Both of them?
One. I mean, the mother-in-law could have the bedroom.
Hi, I know you're old. Here's the couch.
The tent in the front yard or the tent in the backyard?
If he doesn't want the couch, he can, you know, buy it. He can, you know, get a hotel room. Yeah. He's an adult. He's a grown man.
He
can be
a little pharisaical here. Just let him sleep there. Oh, you know, I don't understand the problem.
It's your house. You're not talking in full voice.
I don't understand what the problem is. I'm confused.
She asked, it's your house.
And say, look, are you going to do it in my place? They say, no. Okay. Then,
I mean, you're
fine.
I mean, here's the thing. It goes to the general perception. But, like, I feel like if you're staying in the same bed at my place, you're treating someone that is your wife as if they are your wife if they're not your wife. Because I wouldn't do that. If I was married, I wouldn't stay in a bed with another woman. Correct. So I feel like you're
not going to do anything.
Yeah, you're treating. Yeah. Regardless of whether you're having sex or not, like, you're using that relationship as if you are in closer than what you are. And so I think you shouldn't do that.
You're also sending a message to your 10-year-old boys that it's okay for a man and a woman who's not married to go ahead and occupy the same bedroom.
I would be sending that message if I had no relationship with them at all and haven't had any conversation with them throughout their entire life up to this point. But if you have, I don't see the problem. Okay. I mean, seriously, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You're setting a bad example. So is everything that kid ever sees. That is why you have a daily conversation with your children. That's why you talk to them about Jesus. That's why you show his actions through the way that you live. And so, like,
right, but you don't facilitate bad circumstances to teach them lessons.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about people flying in from out of state and extra expenses just for one night, sleeping approximately 3 feet apart from each other in a bed.
I mean, if a meth addict came to stay at my house, I wouldn't offer them meth, but if they went out and got some, there's nothing I could do about it.
But I'm gonna say, can bring some in.
I realize you probably do
for
meth. I got some in the kitchen cabinet there for you. I know you may not take it, but, I mean.
Here, I've got some Sudafed you can cook up.
That is not the same example. That is not the same example.
So, Mike, you're hinging on what you think is the technicality of the deal. If they're doing what Mike would call the giggity, then
I don't know what that is.
I don't feel like there's any reason to have to separate them from the bed. I think the concept for me would be I don't see if it's not that big a deal. Can't they sleep in separate things? Like, what makes it that you err on the side of that?
I'm saying I would not make this decision based on what my kids see. My kids and I have very decent conversations about this. And as far as I'm concerned, I can't legislate their morality through the location of the bed in my house.
I would do this irrelevant of my children. If I had no children at home, it'd still be like, hey, we just don't do that in my house. We don't accommodate people who aren't married sleeping together.
I accommodate all kinds of sinful behavior at my house for people who are sinners and don't know the difference.
Like what?
Well, would you do the same thing for, say, let's say there is two people whose car broke down outside your house. They are not married, and you're giving them a place to stay for the night. You do the exact same thing?
Yeah.
What if there's seven?
And they're used to sharing a bed.
They shouldn't be driving.
It just seems so weird. You guys talk about it all the time how you cannot legislate morality, but you will do it right with the bedroom at your house.
Yeah, it's your house. I
don't know. What's the difference?
You're talking like on a national level versus what will I allow happen in my home.
What is the difference?
Well, like you say, it's your home. It's your home. Well, I mean,
I'm confused. I guess maybe I don't see it. I mean, I get what you're saying, but like, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. If you don't know Jesus yet, I don't expect you to act any different than the way that you normally act. Come right in. You can live how you live, and we will talk about Jesus while you're here. I just feel like you're legislating morality that you don't want the government to do, but you will certainly do in your house. What is the difference?
Well, so these are things, though, that you're otherwise, you don't see as a big deal. Like, if you could say, like, choose something that's a little bit more offensive to you. Like, they're swingers and exhibitionists.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
And they come into your place, and they're like, well, this is just what we do. We exhibition and swing in your living room.
Okay.
And you say, that's not my, I'm okay with that, because you don't know Jesus, it's all right to do in my place.
Okay, given that example, I understand what you're saying.
So like, the difference here isn't so much whether you're willing to permit that, in generally speaking, it's that you just don't find the sharing the same bed as offensive.
That's probably true.
So, yeah. So, in the concept of, just if you're going around and saying, I you won't facilitate any sin, you will legislate morality if you want to think about that way in your own home, you will say, we just, to the extent that I have control, I will take it and say that we don't do those things here. You're just picking and choosing which one you care about and which one you don't really.
Yeah, that's probably right. That sounds like an accurate description of me.
Here it says, secular says, handle it by offering to make reservations for your mother-in-law and her gentleman friend at a nearby hotel. And if she asks you why, explain it to her as you explained it to me.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay. I wasn't ready. No.
Do you want another one? I got one more.
Do one more.
Okay. Dear Life from the Path, I have neighbors whose house I go to in order to see pay-per-view fights. I split the cost of the fights and the food with them. The problem is, if anyone else comes over, they don't pitch in. Also, they eat the food I just paid half of. Another issue is I eat for one and they eat for five, yet we split the cost down the middle. How do I resolve this? I'll handle this one. Get pay-per-view at your own house. Problem solved. You cheap fool. Either be generous to people or stay at your own house. That's my advice.
Yeah, friendships cost. I mean, it's an inherent part of it. So just accept the cost.
Sometimes they cost two hotel rooms.
Yeah.
I was pretty happy about that.
Noted.
Yeah, and if he's that upset about it, he doesn't have to bring that much food. He's bringing enough for five to eat.
Oh, yeah,
he's
right.
Complaining about it.
Right, they can only take as much as you brought.
So bring enough for two, and make sure you eat half of it.
Your way to solve your problems is to become more greedy.
Yes. This is an odd problem to have. You think he's more upset that the guy's other friends are coming over and they're not spending intimate time watching the fight?
I have no idea.
Intimate time watching the fight.
I don't know.
Why do you guys?
I don't desire that.
If it bothered you that much, I'd say, hey,
I like
guys,
long hair.
Why don't we all bring stuff next time? I mean, if it's that big of a deal.
No, you brought it all this time. It didn't cost me any money. Let's not. Let's continue with what we're doing. You pay for all the food and I eat it. That sounds great.
I'll bring it up for me.
Okay, fellas.
Yeah.
I'll bring my own ho-hos.
Okay, you want Secular's advice?
Yeah, there's no help in the situation. Go ahead.
Secular says, you could try duking it out, but the most effective way... I got a genuine guffaw out of you guys, duking it out. Here we go. You could try duking it out, but the most effective way would be for you to discuss it with your neighbors, because I agree, what's happening to you doesn't seem fair.
You're just encouraging a cheapskate.
Yeah.
Come on.
You're right from the past. People are mean to me.
They're going to tie him up in the root cellar.
Me and my other rich friend go halvesies on pay-per-view fights. You should be ashamed of yourself. Go to El Salvador for a little while, will you? These are not problems.
True.
We were going 50-50 on paid fighting. Someone else ate half my Subway sandwich.
They ate my chips.
Those chips are expensive.
You know what? Yeah. You, sir, need to go to Reliant.org/Brian.Harris. And you need to find a better place for your funds.
You've been listening to Live from the Path. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We really do appreciate it. If you really enjoyed the show, let us know. Send us an email at info@livefromthepath.org. If it was really awful, I seem to like it, so I'm not going to listen to it very much. But if you could send that to Chris Roloff at the Truth Network, he's the guy that allows us on the station. It's more his problem than mine. So let him know that you did disapprove. And big thanks to Mariah. Mariah, thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it. Make sure you go out there and... help that situation along. Help send her on her way so she can continue to do the Lord's work in El Salvador, San Salvador, Sea of Salvador, and all the Salvadorian things that are going on there. And you've been listening to Live from the Path. Please, please be faithful in the means, and God will take care of the ends. Thanks for listening to Live from the Path.